Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's Pride Month, which makes what happened today in the Supreme Court all the more sad and devastating to many across the LGBTQIA plus community. I'll also say this, in all of recorded human history, trans people have existed. And despite the MAGA regime's best efforts, despite maybe even the Supreme Court's best efforts, trans people are here. They're here to stay. They're part of our communities, our workplaces, our churches, our synagogues. Trans people exist. And so the question to every culture, to every society, to every democracy especially, is for a group of people whose identity is trans, who feel and experience as young people potentially gender dysphoria, do we want them to be able to access healthcare in the way that a cisgendered person does? Do we want them to enjoy equal protection under the laws? Today, the Supreme Court, considering a trans care youth ban from a transgender affirming care ban for young people in Tennessee, ruled that indeed equal protection won't extend to those youths in Tennessee. I've got Abigail Swetz, Executive Director of Fair Wisconsin, here to help us understand the ramifications. And again, Abigail, we want to begin with this critically important point about gender affirming care here in Wisconsin.
Yes. So the most important thing to know for Wisconsin listeners about this Supreme Court case is that it has no impact on Wisconsin whatsoever. Wisconsin does not have a ban on gender-affirming care. And so from a legal standpoint, there should be no change to access in gender-affirming care for youth in Wisconsin. Trans youth should be able to continue to access the care that they need here. I will say, we know these kinds of things have chilling effects, right? And so from a legal standpoint, there should be no impact. If there is an impact, I think Fair Wisconsin needs to know. So please tell us, for lack of a better way to put it. We always have a tip line available. It's testimony@fairwisconsin.com. I want to know so that we can better advocate for you. We are the LGBTQ plus civil rights organization of the state. I can only help protect your civil rights if I know what's missing. So please, please, please tell us if you are seeing these sort of like pre-compliance aspects. Yeah. But it should have zero impact on the care here in Wisconsin.
When you talk about that chilling impact, one of our regular listeners on Facebook, Brett, posted that he knows a dear friend who has a trans child. They have moved to Vancouver because the parent is so concerned about the way his child may be treated. And Abigail, we will return to precisely what are we talking about when we talk about gender affirming care for youth, and sure, what it is not as well. But I'd be remiss if I didn't make this point. While gender affirming care is legal and accessible for youth in the state of Wisconsin, and the Supreme Court decision has absolutely no legal impact here, as you and I have discussed on this program before, what we are seeing in many public school systems is antagonism, policies that are, it seems, almost intentionally designed to deprive trans kids of safety while they're in school. I wondered if you could just address that a bit and maybe speak to parents out there that have trans kids about what to look out for if their kid is potentially being harassed or treated unfairly in schools, your thoughts and best advice for parents at this juncture.
Sure. So I am a parent. My child is very, very young. So we don't know my child's gender identity yet because she's 13 months old at the moment. But I am also a former Gender and Sexuality Alliance advisor. I taught middle school for years. And I think as someone who's been in the shoes of being an advisor to these youth, one of the things that I think back on a lot is listening directly to them about what they need, right? And I had the honored position of having been a middle school teacher to have that access to youth in a way that I also know parents do, to have access to be able to truly listen to what the youth in your life need. And one of the things that's just been rolling around through my head today all day is I remember asking one of my kids in the GSA, what do you need from a leader? What do you need from a president? And my student said, I need a president who understands what empathy is. Mm. And I know that, frankly, we don't have that right now. But the rest of us, adults in these children's lives, can be leaders by showing that empathy, by listening to them when they tell you what they need. I am cisgender. I am not trans. I don't necessarily understand every nuance of the trans identity of someone who's speaking to me. I don't think I need to, in order to understand that they do.
Yes.
They understand who they are. And they understand who they are at whatever age they are telling you they understand it. And that is so important for us to keep in mind. And so for all the people out there who love and support our trans kids, I know today is a difficult day. I hope you also are seeing that there are so many of us out there together with you, and that you're hearing from us who, you know, going on the radio, making speeches and so on to really bring home this idea. We are unified in our empathy and our support for our trans youth. And we know that when they tell us what they need and when they tell us who they are, they're right and we should deliver.
Folks, that's Abigail Swetz. She is the executive director of FAIR Wisconsin, Wisconsin's premier and only civil rights organization dedicated to the LGBTQ community. We have some breaking news. NBC is reporting that the Trump administration has announced that they will be shutting down the National LGBTQ Youth Suicide Hotline, the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, in 30 days. Sorry, getting a little emotional here. The cruelty is just unbelievable. Abigail, your thoughts?
It's horrifying. And I think, I don't know if I'm going to be able to be as profound as I wish I could be in this moment. But I think it is very well known that our LGBTQ plus youth face significant mental health challenges. And the fact that that is well known sometimes masks the fact that that is not an automatic, that is not a self-fulfilling prophecy. People do not experience mental health outcomes because they are LGBTQ plus. They experience mental health outcomes because of the societal pressures and the biases and the bigotry and the policies that are anti-trans that they have to live in. They live in a toxic soup of homophobia and transphobia that is at this moment governmentally sanctioned.
Yes.
And so the fact is that removing supports like the 988 line add to that societal pressure that creates that outcome. And frankly, inclusive policies at school or funding for LGBTQ plus research or funding for LGBTQ plus specific hotlines, because it makes it possible for you to talk to someone who really understands you. Those are all pressure valves.
Yes.
And they make it more possible for our LGBTQ plus kids to live fully and authentically and healthily. And that is what we need. And so in the face of this kind of governmental decision, if we're talking Supreme Court, if we're talking 988 hotline, I think we always have to come back to what can we as trusted adults do in the lives of our children. And that is to be a trusted adult. And you mentioned it was Pride Month. There are a lot of rainbows around on Pride Month. That's fabulous. We should have them out all year.
All year.
Because in order to be a trusted adult for an LGBTQ plus youth, they need to be able to find you.
They need to
be able to identify you. And so, you know, it might seem sort of silly to say that like a rainbow on your lanyard at work makes a difference, but it does.
It does.
Because rainbows make it possible for trans kids to breathe. So this is incredibly important for us to keep in mind in the face of all of this ugliness that is coming from, you know, official sectors of our society. We as individuals can absolutely still make a difference in a trans kid's life.
Folks, again, if you're just joining us, that's Abigail Swetz, Executive Director of FAIR Wisconsin. We're discussing the Supreme Court's decision today upholding Tennessee's gender-affirming care ban for young people. Again, important to note, there is no such ban in Wisconsin, and trans youth here in Wisconsin can continue to receive the care that they and their families, in consultation with their medical professionals, decide. There's something so deeply personal and invasive about this, and the follow-up from the Trump administration to shut down the 988 headline, right? Like, when you listen to politicians that are defending the ban, right, what they will say is young people don't know what they really want. We're concerned about their mental health. We don't want them to make a decision that they lay. There's this whole litany of sort of smokescreen, reasonable sounding things that they'll say to try to defend this ban in the face of what is often overwhelming testimony from trans youth themselves and their parents and their families and medical experts testifying in favor of gender affirming care. The entire fig leaf of caring about kids is entirely revealed as utter garbage by the Trump administration's decision to get rid of the 988 suicide hotline, right? Like, if you cared about kids who are trans and you held a good faith belief, which I'm just going to say isn't a good faith belief, it's politicization of the most intimate issues for families and their kids. But if I could even extend that benefit of the doubt, which I generally don't, it's nope, the emperor has no clothes, and I mean that nearly literally. This shows that it's not about any of these rational basis reasons that have been trotted out for this. This is about erasure.
It's about power.
It's about power. And the power to erase, power, yes.
And it's about taking power away from people who need it, right? And so I think one of the other things that always bothers me about the way that people talk about the healthcare that trans youth need is that it is always in consultation and with full consent of the parents.
Yes.
And so this is also a decision that impacts parents' ability to do what is best for their children and a doctor's ability to do what is best for a patient. And politics and politicians and, frankly, courts should not be a part of that decision-making process. That's one of the reasons it's so important that, like, we keep in mind that all good healthcare is highly individualized, right?
Yes.
Well, this is good healthcare. It is. Their standards of care have been rigorously researched. Even the American Academy of Pediatrics released a statement today denouncing the Supreme Court decision, saying the science still supports gender-affirming care and kids still need it.
The American Society of Pediatricians, that rabid left-wing. I mean, Abigail, can you stick around for one additional segment? Thank you so much. That is Abigail Swetz, Executive Director of Wisconsin's civil rights organization called FAIR Wisconsin. You can go to their website. If you're experiencing discrimination, you need support, go to FAIR Wisconsin's website. We'll be back with Abigail and me, Maggie Dawn, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. This discussion continues on the other side.